If anybody else wants to try the dance, it's not as complicated as it looks. There are, of course, a lot of complicated steps, but the simple one is just a walking step. Could you show them how you do it from walking?
Right?
No, we're just discussing.
You step,
just go ball,
and then you kick back.
Flat, ball. Flat, ball.
Well, you're playing it away from me.
And then you sort of get a little... This is the basic move to everything. Like, everything kind of has the flat ball. And then there's the chug where you go flat, and then you hop back, and you chug.
So you can hear, it's called percussive dance because it becomes part of the music.
Yeah.
When you can you do the one where you go like a train sideways?
Oh, the that way?
That's kind of a special effect.
Everybody with that one, special.
And what's the one with the shuffle? Can you do the shuffle? Shuffle kick step. Shuffle kick. Ira Bernstein was teaching that last week in Westminster.
Yeah, well, that's the one we just did. I don't know which one.
Oh, no problem.
There's the basic. It just goes flat, fall, flat. Then you put the heel in.
I should mention that the...
then you go heel, toe.
The African-American style of this dance is very similar, and it's called buck dancing. So it's maybe a little bit more, a little more bluesy style of dancing, but it comes from the same root. You know, it's a shared tradition, just like old-time music is shared between white and black music groups. The dance form is shared too. And thanks, Sally. This music is often called string band music, and you'll notice that a couple of the instruments are not strings. That's a wind instrument. That's a wind instrument. So. But that doesn't mean that you can't have other instruments in a string band, but they just give a different sound, and one of them is the wooden flute. So can you tell a little bit about the wooden flute?
Well, I don't want to speak to David, but...
This is Jim Miller from Atwater.
In northern Appalachia.
It's the foothills, yeah.
Up southern Pennsylvania, up into New York, up, and then there's other mountains up in Massachusetts and so on. There they play flutes and penny whistles and fifes with old-time music. And they even play jigs. So this is a wooden penny whistle, QD, sort of like a pickup. Sometimes it can be dangerous to the ears of the person in front of me. This is a wooden flute. This is typical of the flutes that played from the middle 1700s up through the middle 1850s.
Sometimes go to Irish jam sessions as well.
Sometimes do.
This is a very typical instrument for Irish music, and less typical for old-time Appalachian music, but it is used, and also in the old-time tradition of New England, like you said. And both Jim and Gary play in another group called Mud in Your Eye, is that right?
I do.
Oh, I thought you played it.
I have played
yeah,
it.
That, oh, you know that group. That's one of the most, old... been revered old-time groups, and they often play for contra dances, which is sort of a New England style of square dancing, which is very popular in Northeast Ohio. If you're interested in hearing this music and dancing to it in a square dance type of thing, there are at least four or five regular square dances that go on in Cleveland and Geauga County and Ashtabula, all over the place. Did you want talk to this lady here, or these... You play for a dance in the west side of Cleveland?
Yeah, over at the Masonic Temple on Detroit Avenue in Lakewood.
And what do you call that group?
Mud in Your Eye.
Oh, that is Mud in Your Eye. Okay, great. And that's, and then depending on where you live, if you want to learn to play this music, this is how we all learn, is you just show up with your instrument, and you'll be welcomed in, and you can learn the music by ear. That's how we do it. You want to switch to a different key or what?
Yes.
Amen.
We're about halfway through the show, and so we're going to switch to another key, and you'll hear how the music changes in character when we switch our tuning of our instruments. So, so Gary, you want to tell some jokes while we tune?
I've got one.
Okay, no, get up there.
All right. What sound does a banjo player make when you push him off a cliff?
G.
What sound?
G.
Who cares? Where are we going?
G, how about G?
G?
What key do you get when you throw a banjo player down a mine shaft?
I don't know this.
A flat minor.
If you throw the guy into a military base, A flat major.
Yes.
You know what the definition of perfect pitch is?
It's when
you
throw
the banjo in the dumpster, you hit the accordion.
That's what I was going to say.
This is a Chinese song called Two Names.
Wow.
Jim Warren is a local, another local musician. He plays a few different instruments, right? You play the stand-up bass, the guitar, the fiddle, and the mandolin. And so he's introduced another instrument. The guitar and the mandolin are fairly newcomers to old-time music. Only been played for about 100 years in old-time music. And before that, it was the fiddle and the banjo that were the main instruments of old-time music. The guitar was marketed through catalog sales, such as the Sears Roebuck catalog. And it was popular in cowboy and Western music, and it's a Spanish instrument originally. So that came into old-time music in maybe the 20s. And the mandolin, around the same time, that was an Italian instrument. The mandolin is used in classical music of Vivaldi and Italian folk music. You hear it in the Godfather theme and all that. And it became part of old-time music. By the time of bluegrass, it became a standard instrument. Bill Monroe happened to play it. He's the inventor of bluegrass. And so it's an eight-string instrument tuned like a fiddle, but with double strings. It's got eight strings instead of four. And so we got another instrument. Thank you for joining us, Jim Warren. Jim Warren. Give him a round of your applause.
Yeah!
We're going into the key of G.
Hold your hat.
G.
This guy here? Oh, well, maybe he can tell you about it.
This is Ed Mills from Kirtland in Geauga County.
Lake? In 1840 it was.
Lake County?
After 1840 it was Lake.
Oh, so we've got seven counties here today. Wow.
The whole greater Cleveland area.
This is traditional folk music, not necessarily here. We already have a guitar player set to play the bouzouki. You hear a lot of this in the Sword of the Greek, and it's just an eight string. It's sort of like a mandolin on steroids. Theoretically, it's a lute. It comes from the lute family. They're really old. And there's two types of lutes, basically. There's a long neck lute, and there's a short neck lute. And if your neck is longer than your body, you look really weird. But if your neck is longer than your body,
you're a giraffe.
You're a giraffe, or you're a long neck lute. Or if your neck is shorter than your body, then you're a short neck lute. And they said they say that. There's a theory out there that says that if you've been with you've had a pet for a long time, or you've been married a long time, then people start to look like each other. I don't get it.
thing you say.
Gary does. We can call it aristocracy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's put the mic on Gary and have Gary start it.
Good. No. Good. Move the mic to Gary.
I'll put it back.
You
play it if you want to and
yeah,
start off because everybody can hear your
colored aristocracy. Just fine.
Okay.
This is a little slower.
Okay.
Rob is going to highlight you there. He just denied
it.
Remind us how it goes.
Okay, this tune is called Colored Aristocracy. Thank you. cutting up point, is that G also?
That's G.
Okay, we're all done with that. Okay, do you know where the name comes from?
Barlow Knife.
Barlow Knife.
Yeah, it's a song about a pocket knife. And I don't know the words, but it talks about the pocket knife and what a wonderful knife it is. And it used to be a really fine knife, and it's come back to being that again. So
most of the tunes do have words, and it takes some digging because most of us didn't grow up with these tunes. But back in the old days, a lot of people would have known the words to most of them. So Barlow Knife.
Yep. I know the words to
Oh, yeah.
Can you sing it? I don't know when it comes in. I can just tell you what you are.
Okay, so just get the mic.
No, I don't know when it comes in.
A lot of this stuff you can get off the internet. There are websites for old time music, believe it or not.
Thank you.
that's the type of tune that is kind of a hypnotic tune. And so in the old days sometimes, and back to the old country, there were certain tunes that you just couldn't stop playing, and there were some legends that you would, the dancers would just keep dancing and dancing and dancing until they would fall to the ground in a coma or something like that, just because the tune was so great.
Dave, we call those droolers.
Droolers, yeah.
Droolers.
Well, there you go. Those of you writing a paper on this, you can put that in your notes.
Yeah.
Droolers. Yeah, how do you know your bass player is balanced? The drool comes out of both sides of his mouth.
Works for banjo players, too.
Okay, we got
who's been here since I've been young?
We got 40 minutes, so we could switch to A after about 10 more minutes and finish out in A.
Now keep to the schedule, David.
We're union. Union.
An hour on D.
Okay.
What do you call the guy who drives the bus?
I have one C tune.
The drummer.
And I haven't introduced David Fuente on the six-string guitar.
Yay.
David is one of the public relations people for the WKSU radio station, who will be putting on the Kent State Folk Festival November 5th through 14th, and it's going to be really good this year. He can tell you more about it later.
Yeah. The six-string guitar evolved out of the lute, and it started actually to be used in the late Renaissance by troubadours, and it was used in France, Italy, and then it migrated over to Spain. It's most well known as a Spanish instrument used by Carlos Montoya or Andres Segovia, who actually started writing pieces specifically for it. But it had been around for hundreds of years. And in the early 19th century, it started to be used as a parlor instrument here in the United States. And if you look at a Martin guitar, you'll see since 1833. And so it way predates the Civil War. By the time of the Civil War, it was used as a parlor instrument. It was a much smaller bodies. And they had cat-butt strings In the early years, and then they switched to steel strings and the combinations of both. Actually, I think the early banjos had catgut strings. And in modern times, like with classical guitars, the catgut has been replaced with nylon on the upper four strings. And I've seen, well, when did you say it started to be used in old-time music? In the 20s, about this, and it coincides with runs concurrent with the recording industry when some of the first early recordings. Fellows like Riley Puckett, who was with the Gid Tanner and the Skillet Lickers, I'm sure you've all heard of them, and other guitar players. There's a fellow here in Ohio, Bradley Kincaid, who had several hits, I suppose, back in the 20s. And he was a guitar player. The guitar players started to multiply and breed like rabbits, and now you see them everywhere, and some of them are electronic.
You notice in old-time music, we just all play all the time, and we don't take solos. That's because this music originally, there might have been only one fiddle in an old-time band. It would be just one fiddle, and they had to provide the music for the whole barn or the whole square dance. So eventually when other instruments were added, just everyone plays the same tune all together. Bluegrass, though, the musicians will take solos and they will step up and the fiddle will take a solo, the guitar will take a solo, the banjo will take a solo, and everyone else does the accompaniment, the chop. But for old time, we don't do that. We all play all the time, and we've been cutting off the tunes after about six times through about 4 or 5 minutes. But down south, sometimes a tune could go on 15 minutes or even 30 minutes. We've heard that. A lot of us have been down there and heard the same tune. And it gets better and better. It doesn't get boring at all, because it's never the same way twice. There's a little bit of improvisation.
You hold it, I'll give it a...
Or something like that.
All right.
What, Big Saudi?
This tune is Big Scioto, and it's named after the Scioto River, which is here in Ohio. So apparently this is an Ohio tune of old time music. And if you've been to southern Ohio, that's sort of almost in the Appalachian Mountains.
I can't remember how it goes.
I'm not going to make that difference.
I have a headache.
He's our keeper.
Yeah. Can we just start or do you just
sure.
Thank you.
Can you sing it with us? We'll help you out. Yeah, we'll help you out. Coming around the mountain when she comes.
Check your watch.
Yeah, it's 3:31. Do you have any other? Do you guys have any other G1s that you really, really want to do before we go to A? Sharky and the Strut. Okay. That's an A. Can you do Coming Around the Mountain when she comes?
Sure.
But how's the B part go?
I don't know.
Is there a B part?
How about, who knows it as a solo and we'll listen to you first and then we'll join in. There we go. This one's going out to you. Structure of the tune usually. So you'll hear the A part is I had a little turkey and it wouldn't lay an egg. The second part is turkey in the straw, da, 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 turkey in the hay. Da, da, da. So that's the B part. So we do A, A, B, B. That's the structure. Pretty simple. So you can sing if you like. Boy, this one takes a lot of fast drawing. Who wants to start it? How about we let the harmonica take a solo on this, because this it's a kind of a very chicken sound.
She's implying your chicken.
The yellow belly harmonicas.
Don't take that.
Why don't you start it? We'll let him go for a couple times, yeah. Go ahead and ask, because this is the time when we need to stall.
Because the banjo players have to retune. The banjo players have to retune.
Do you know that guy?
The hat you're wearing is different from the one in the photo.
I told him he would listen to me.
Hey, I'm in tune already.
You see, the answer is that I'm a man who wears many hats.
Thank you. Already in tune.
So most of the time in an old-time jam, when people are ready to stop playing, somebody puts their foot out or people just look around and make eye contact. But we were at a dance weekend a couple weekends ago, and we heard a story about a group of people playing with an older man. And at first he didn't know what to do, so we'll just stick out your foot when you're ready to stop. So he'd stick his foot out. And then after a couple of months, he got tired of that. Maybe he couldn't lift his foot so easily anymore. So he tried to lift his foot, and it wasn't working. So then he just said, foot. So now every time they want to go out, they say, foot. So we've been saying that back and laughing at it all day.
Southern Ohio.
It's really pitiful. Yeah.
So is that kind of a tradition in that county now?
No. Actually, I don't know where that. We were in Southern Ohio when it happened, but we're making up tradition.
You could try that.
We'll just say foot from now on.
Yeah.
Oh, there was one back there first. Yeah, I'll get. Oh, well, if you look at old photos of old-time musicians dating back as old as photography, you'll find that about half the time the old-timers were holding their fiddle on their chest instead of under their chin. And that's because this is not a violin. This is a fiddle. A violin you have to hold like this, but a fiddle you can hold down here because there's a lot of... There's a lot of individuality in filling that there might not be in classical violinist violin playing. So due to the influence of classical music, and a lot of us get our start playing classical and only the old time later in life, then we're more standardized in our bowing and our hold. But I didn't really study classical violin, and I like the look of that old-fashioned way, and there are a couple old-timers who still play like that. Lester McCumbers, who's a senior fiddler of West Virginia, he's in his 80s, and he holds his fiddle like that. And there are some drawbacks to it. You can't easily get the high notes because your hand is kind of trapped. It's holding the bottom of the fiddle, whereas if you're holding it like this, your chin holds the instrument, and you can go as high as you want. So there's some drawbacks to it, but I like it because I can see my fingers, and it's not as loud as in my ear as when I hold it here. So this is sort of the thing with fiddling. You can hold your bow here at the frog. You can hold it up a few inches, or some people hold it way up here because they like the balance better. In classical music, you've got to hold it here. So there's more flexibility in old-time music, and it's up to personal preference, you know, and it gives a little bit different sound. So, and then you had a question up front. That's all right. We'll play a lively tune.
Rainy day, come on.
What's the tune? Are we in A now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys pick some tunes.
Okay. Got Sandy Boys down.
Oh, that's be good.
June Apple.
Yeah, June Apple.
Sandy, you want June Apple and then Sandy Boys?
Sure.
June Apple.
June Apple.
This song is called June Apple. Thank you.
this is one. This is an old favorite. And who can sing this one?
What is it?
I know some lyrics.
Okay, sing.
The quail is a pretty bird. You know the...
There's nothing risque in there.
Oh, no.
Okay. This is very family-friendly music.
What are you playing? Yeah.
Sandy Boy.
So, I'd like to thank Michael Dalby. He's taken photographs here for us. And he is the librarian here at the library in charge of music and the performing arts. And he has a monthly series where they feature music of different genres. And we're so pleased that he chose old-time American traditional music to present for the August concert. So thanks, Michael.
Thank you, if I don't get a chance to thank you individually. And since you drew attention to me, I may as well take the spotlight for a second. This is being recorded, I hope. It's working. If you go to cpl.org for the next couple of weeks, there's a link on the homepage to our podcast archive. And most of these music events have been recorded and archived. And you can either stream them online or download them as an MP3 to your pods. And this will be available when I get to it, which will hopefully be next week. So, again, thank you guys so much. It's been great.
Thanks. And thanks to you who came out on this rainy day. And if you're interested in hearing this music again, all year round, you can hear this type of music at these various jam sessions that take place at various coffee shops, clubs, church halls, and all over Northeast Ohio. There's a vigorous community, and of course, you can come to the Kent State Folk Festival and any other festivals like that. So if you get involved in the community, there are various websites that tell you when things are taking place. We do Sandy Boys now. This is a really, really, really pretty one. Thank you.
from Maryland. Okay, what else? It's 3:56, so we have time for one more.
What key are we in?
We're in the waltz. We have to do the waltz.
Oh, the waltz.
Okay, so let's do the drop D. Smoke on the water.
Midnight
on the water.
Smoke on the water is a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drop D.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
play songs on the water.
Tuning that's only used for this tune and a few others. It's Midnight on the Water. This is the last waltz that they do for contra dances and square dances and old time jams too.
Start on the flute.
over there. Good dancer.
Dan wants an encore. Is that okay with the audience?
That's not supposed to work that way.
Real quick, there is a mailing list sign up on the table as you leave. If you'd like to be notified of future music events, you can put your email address on there. I promise I won't send anything but notification of future music events.
Okay, can we do one more? Okay,
this is called Doctor Doctor.
Oh, we are doing Doctor Doctor.
Are we in D?
Yeah, we are in D.